Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Bread of Heaven midweek Bible study. I'm Pastor Perkins. In a moment, we're going to begin praying. I want to talk to you, just give you tonight's topic. The topic is, if you have pain or trouble, God has a purpose. Our first scripture tonight will be from 1 Peter 5. And we'll go from there. So hopefully, I'm trying to do this on my phone, so it's a little tricky. I hope everybody can see and hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can hear you just fine. Can't see you, but I can hear you.
Okay. All right, that'll work. All right. Elder Holden, if you're on, will you lead us in prayer?
Yes. Dear gracious Father God, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, we come thanking you. We come glad tonight. We come rejoicing in our heart just to be in your presence. Lift you up. Thank you, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for another day's journey. Thank you for all that come with the journey, dear Lord, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. We praise you because we serve a good God who said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we come tonight on our Bible study night, dear Lord, to listen to your word. And we pray that you give us ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Bless every family that is represented tonight, dear Lord. May Brother Heaven, those who are on and those who are expected to be on later on, and those who may not be able to be on tonight, we ask your hand a blessing upon them. We continue with pray for Sister Samantha and the Malone family, dear Lord, that you just heal and touch and just have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh Lord, for you're able. We know that you're able. We know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that we can even ask for a thing. We pray continually for Elder Bradshaw that you'll heal him, touch his voice, dear Lord, and strengthen him, dear Lord, in his week. Bless him right now in the name of Jesus. We pray continuously as well for Sister Carol's niece that you just touch and touch, oh God, and have your way, oh Lord. Bless in a mighty way for us and give us strength and guidance and direction. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name, dear Lord. Bless Sister Cartwright, dear Lord, in a mighty, mighty way, oh God. Touch her, dear Lord. Strengthen her. And those, dear Lord, that I may not call out by name, dear Lord, you know who they are. But we expect, oh God, that you're going to do something. We expect to hear something from your word tonight, dear Lord. Just move, dear Lord. Move upon us, dear Lord. Bless us in a mighty way, O God. Bless Brother Heaven. Continue to be with us, O God. Be with our children while they're in school, while they're out of school, dear Lord, and when they get ready to go back to school, dear Lord. Let them expect the unexpected, dear Lord. The unexpected would be that all that's going on in Washington will fade away. They're trying to take away the stuff from the kids in school. You're our God. You're our Savior. And this too shall pass. Heavenly Father God, just have your way tonight. Bless Pastor Perkins as you get ready to deliver the word tonight. Give him the wisdom and the might, the knowledge and the understanding to feed your sheep, to feed your lambs, to feed your people. For we are your people, the works of your hand. You are our God. We love you, we praise you, we magnify you. We just ask that you just bless right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder. Saints, I just need one person to say you can hear me. I know you probably can't see me because I got a little glitch with my phone tonight. But can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise you. Thank you. Our topic tonight, which may be in the chat, is if you have pain or trouble, God has a purpose. 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6. We're going to skip around tonight. Normally, I like to do, you know, verse by verse, and that's usually my preferred way, but both ways are powerful. I trust God will bless this way. Humble yourselves, therefore, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. No, it's no use trying to exalt yourself. So we humble our hand. The way up is down. We go down under the hand of the Lord in humility, and then he raises us up, exalts us in due time when he says so. Casting all your care upon him, for he care for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. A vigilant means watchful. Pay attention. Don't be goofy. You're not just skipping through a meadow, picking up daisies. You win a spiritual warfare. And we got an adversary as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, this is the verse I'm trying to get to for the first part of this. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, perfect doesn't mean perfect without blemish. It means perfect in terms of perfect maturity in your walk with God, and you establish and strengthen you, but you got to suffer a while. Hallelujah. So if you have pain or trouble, God has a purpose. So he might just be trying to mature you, establish you, strengthen you, and get you settled down in your walk with him. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. Your trouble, your pain may cause you to come closer to God. It may cause God in his compassion to come closer to you. If you got pain or trouble, God has a purpose, because he has to allow it. Romans 8:28. And we know, isn't that good to know something? We have a certain God in uncertain times, and his word is sure, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's a purpose for God. The stuff you went through is not wasted. The pain, the tears, the sacrifices, the traveling, the caregiving, the midnight prayers, the midnight tears. None of it's wasted before a holy God. Hallelujah. And he works it together for our good according to his purpose. Hallelujah. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We got to endure temptation. We got to endure tests. We got to endure trials. We got to endure times when it seems hard, when there's setback. God doesn't want a team of runaway AWOL soldiers. He wants some soldiers that would press on, stay on their posts, stay energized for the duty, and not be so quick to turn back. You know what happened in the wilderness with Moses? All that complaining, always wanting to turn back to Egypt, always wanting to be a slave again. God wants some people that love him enough. You see that? You see at the end of that's talking about love. So if you don't endure, you don't love him, right? If you got married and the first time you broke a dish, your wife said, I can't be married to a dish breaker. I'm gone. She didn't love you in the first place. So blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Blessed of God is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried and when she is tried, this men and women, he or she shall receive the crown of life. There's a reward waiting on you, but you got to endure it. And if you, what you're enduring? Trouble, pain, disappointment. Sometimes it looks like heaven is silent. You just say, well, what's going on, Lord? You got to keep on. You don't want to be that Christian soldier that has his hand to the plow and then looks back, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Philippians 4. This, of course, is a familiar scripture, and it has been gone over recently, perhaps in words of exhortation or maybe even a Bible study. Philippians 4, I'm just going to read 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now that says a lot. The Lord wouldn't tell you to rejoice in the Lord always unless you were able to do it. And so what does that mean? No matter what, no matter what, no matter how weak you feel, how perplexed you are, how troubled in spirit, how mad, how frustrated, how disappointed, how hurt, how betrayed you feel, whatever it is. I'm saying whatever. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he puts some emphasis on that, because rejoice is mentioned twice. It's the first and last word in the verse. And you would expect the first word in the verse to be capitalized, but here they have rejoice at the end of the sentence, capitalized. The Lord is emphasizing that you have the power in me, rejoice in the Lord. You have the power in me to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. You can do it. It's an exercise of your will. Hallelujah. You're not faking it till you can make it. Hallelujah. God gives you that unction to do it. If you start doing his word, hallelujah, it will be propelled into the direction of heaven. Let your moderation, Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. So if he's at hand, hallelujah, he knows all about your trouble. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought you think before you think. And if he lets something go amiss in your life, he allowed it. No matter how bad it might feel, how bad it might actually be, he's trying to work it together for your good. Hallelujah. And the Lord is at hand, right? So when it feels like heaven is silent, he's at hand. When it feels like your prayers are not reaching through the ceiling, he's at hand. When it seems like the answer is taking too long, hallelujah, and that the Lord may have missed his opportunity to bless you, no. The Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. I had some pain today. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it tonight or not, but God is good. I'm great. I'm great right now. The pain isn't gone, but the joy has bubbled up, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 6, and when I say pain, I'm not talking about physical pain. Praise God, I feel good. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. That is what the Holy Ghost inspired the Apostle Paul to write to us. Be careful for nothing. Don't you worry about a thing. Hallelujah. But in every circumstance, even the unthinkable, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. He knows all about it, but you got to give it to him as an aspect of triggering the jurisdiction of heaven and walking in the trust you say you have for him. Because faith without works is dead. And sometimes prayer becomes the language, the prayer and the praise, the rejoice, rejoice, the prayer and the praise becomes the language of our faith. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Sometimes I know this is hard. The only way God can get some peace to you, his peace to you, not the world's peace, but his peace, his unconditional peace, his big peace, his peace that passeth all understanding. The only way he can get that to you, he got to get you in a place where you hurting or you got some trouble. Why? That's the human condition. And God knows what's in us. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy. Can you still hear me? My phone did something else. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It is not about what we see now. Hallelujah. The suffering of this present time, the temporal suffering, the temporary suffering, the earthly suffering of this present time, the emotional suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall, that sounds pretty definite to me, be revealed in us. God's glory, the King of glory, hallelujah, the King of kings, Lord of lords, the radiant one, hallelujah, the ever-present, all-powerful one, hallelujah, praise God, is going to reveal his majestic glory in us, but we got to go through something. The suffering of this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God. He's going to put it in us. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Sometimes through circumstances of life, we might get to the point where we need to be fed by like a tube or something. Hallelujah. But we, God's going to get us our nourishment, right? So the glory shall be revealed in us, right? We might not see it with our eyes, but it's going to be revealed with us. We might not be able to help ourselves to the glory. We might not be able to get out a serving spoon and get a little bit of glory, but it's going to be revealed in us. He's going to infuse it in us spiritually. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, our outward man declines, our outward man gets tired, although our outward man begins to show the frailty that was there when we were young and strong, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Hallelujah. So the frailty of the outer man is producing renewal spiritually by the grace of God in us day by day. For our light affliction, well, it doesn't feel light to us. And I don't believe there's anybody on this call that enjoys affliction. I know I don't. For our light affliction, it's light when compared to eternity. It's light compared to what we deserve. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, hallelujah, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If you have pain or trouble, God has a purpose. He's producing, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. While we look not at the things seen, but at the things which are not seen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what we look into. We look at the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but we don't see him naturally speaking. While we look not at the things seen, we're not getting our imagination dominated by Goliath. Our imagination is dominated by the God of heaven that we can't see. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Goliath, oh, he was breathing out threats and slaughter. He was defying the armies of the living God. He was like, he felt like he was punking out all of Israel. 5 minutes later, his head was cut off. Things we see are temporal, but for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I like the way that's written. Didn't say will be eternal, are eternal. It's eternal right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because of the power of a promise of God. The power of his word, hallelujah, makes things eternal now. Hallelujah. Things that won't be. Our God is not an Indian giver. All right. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. What more could we really ask, y'all? I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't want to pass through the waters. Neither do I. I don't want to be struggling. I don't want to be trying to dog paddle out of some deep water. He says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, hallelujah, through the fire, not into it and just get burned up, through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That's the power of an eternal, all-powerful, loving God. John 16:33. The topic is, if you have pain or trouble, God has a purpose. Oh my God. John 16:33. This is Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, trouble, heartache, affliction. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I already been through the tribulation. And I'm getting ready to go to the cross for the rest of it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Psalm 23:4. That sounds familiar, isn't it? We went over that recently. Yea, though I walk through. Again, that's the word through. The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Whatever God has comforts us, even if you can't see it, not naturally speaking. All right. This is just a lesson to refresh your realization of how much God is with you in pain or trouble, and he allowed it because he has a purpose and that he's working together it together for our good. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is, of course, a very familiar scripture. I believe Sister Brasher wrote an article from this scripture from the last time we had a hard copy Bread of Heaven newsletter. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse temptations or tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when your faith is tried through trouble or pain, it works or produces patience. Why? That's the economy of God. That's how he works. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience is not full patience until you endure to the end. So don't be patient for 23 seconds and then, you know, go crazy. Patience means patience. And let me put it to you this way. Stay on the potter's wheel and let the Lord work on you. First Peter, first chapter, starting at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. He says, if need be. If you are going through manifold temptations, there's a need seen perhaps only by God, a purpose only perhaps known by God for the manifold or many or various temptation. Sometimes they used to say, if it's not one thing, it's two. Sometimes it's several. Sometimes operating at the same time. And you have to understand that God has a purpose in it. I'll read it again. Verse 6, 1 Peter, first chapter. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold or various temptations, that the trial of your faith, hallelujah, the perfecting of your faith, the tempering of your faith, being much precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though you see him not, yet believing, ye receive with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So much joy that it don't even make sense. Joy that you can't even describe. Why do you have the ability to rejoice when you have pain, when you have trouble, when you have heartache, when you have been pushed to the end of your natural strength? Hallelujah. And full of glory. Hallelujah. Receiving the end of your faith, the outcome of your, the reward of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Praise the Lord. All right. This seems like a good place to stop. If there are questions or comments, if I hit on somebody, one of somebody's go-to verses, that's fine. You can talk about that. Hallelujah. But we need this. We need a fresh look at what God is doing, even though you can't see it. Even though you can't figure it out. Hallelujah. The simple answer is he's the answer. When you have a question about what you're going through, and if you have pain or trouble, that God has a purpose, period, in it. So questions, comments, brief testimonies, comment about a particular verse that that's one of your go-tos, the floor is open, saints.
Hey, Pastor Perk.
Yes.
So it's not a particular scripture. It was something that you said triggered me when I thought about something that happened years ago. You said, like, you break, I can't be married to a person that breaks dishes. You know, you just use that as an example.
Right.
And there was this brother that I knew that I still know, and he was married to a woman, and she claimed he yelled at her, so she divorced
him. Really?
And she went to another state to live, and while she was up there, she was murdered. And so sometimes, you know, you just think you just make a decision like that, and, you know, it ends up real wrong. You know, she left him and went somewhere else and ended up getting murdered. So, like, yeah. So it made me think about that incident. So, like, you know, how people, when they get married, like when you said something like, I can't be married to somebody who breaks dishes, you know. It just made me think about that. You know, when you're married, you will, sometimes you're going to yell or argue, or sometimes it's going to happen.
Right.
But if a person says, no, I can't deal with that yelling, and that's all they're doing, they're not cheating on you, they're not abusing you, but you got into arguing, the volume got loud. She bailed on them, and she ended up leaving, and, you know, it caused her own destruction. So it just made me think about that when you was teaching that.
Yeah. You know, we're supposed to have more staying power. One thing we have to remember sometimes, I know this is hard. This is hard, y'all. Especially those of y'all who are married. That when you are at your point, you're at your, we can call it the boiling point. We call it whatever point with your spouse. You have to remember that Jesus died for him. that Jesus died for her, and that that is a brother or sister that belongs to God, and they're not your property just because you're married to them. And you can't talk to them or react to them any kind of way without risking the displeasure of a holy God. So there are times when I have to go there, and when I look back later and said, it wasn't that crucial. But something like that, remembering, I don't want to be a stumbling block for my wife. I don't want to be sisters. I don't want to be a stumbling block for, and that applies to other relationships, siblings, parents, uncles, friends, coworkers, you know, brothers and sisters in church. Sometimes we have to take that perspective to help soften what we're going through so that God's purpose can be perfected in us. The Bible tells us a soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, have you ever had an experience of somebody going off on you and you just took it? There have been times when I did. I remember one time vividly when we lived in Parkwood and I was at the city bus stop. Now, some of y'all know I rode the bus off and on for about 10 years. I didn't mind. Had two law licenses, Ohio and Tennessee. Was working for one of the greatest lawyers in Tennessee history, but I was broke. So, hey, facts are facts, right? And they used to be trying to sugarcoat it. Anyway, so I'm riding the bus. We had a crazy neighbor, and a younger man than me. And, if he had grabbed me, I don't know what would happen. But anyway, we're at the bus stop. He's right up on me, inches away from me, doing some kind of dance and yelling at me. He didn't touch me, but you don't know how mad I was. Yeah, I'm trying to deal with trying to be a good dad, a good husband, a good lawyer, a good minister. Trying, not always succeeding. And this fool is right up on me on the bus stop, dancing inches away from the side of my face. And I just look forward and I say, I don't know what would happen if he touched me. And he stopped. My calmness quieted down the savage beast. the natives got restless inside of him and he stopped. And praise God. So a soft answer does turn away wrath. We can't be naive, You're dealing with a dangerous person. Keep your eye on them and protect your children and your family. But you don't have to get back with people every time they say something disrespectful to you. All right. Questions, comments, follow-up discussion, remarks about any particular scripture or thing that I said. The floor is open, saints.
Awesome message this evening, Pastor.
Thank you, First Lady.
And you're going to have to tell me what happened. Bless it. I love you.
I ain't tell you nothing. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay.
Did nothing happen?
Okay.
Not really.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I just had a moment thinking about our son.
I'm so sorry. Me too. Sorry. We've been talking about him all day.
Okay. Too. Yeah. Okay. Just had a little, about like a 30-minute spell. God's good.
Okay.
All right. It's good to hear your voice all the way from Missouri, First Lady.
Oh no, we made it safe and take that too. We made it safe. Just now got here.
Well, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Glad you were able to safely get away from me.
Again.
Yeah. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.
You know I'm praying for y'all to be safe. Have a great day. Amen. Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies, remarks about a particular scripture or thing that we're talking about here tonight. Our topic is, if you have pain or trouble, God has a purpose. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I was just impressed, about the scripture, where you were reading it, about staying on the potter's wheel. And that is not an easy thing to do. And, if you know and love the Lord, you know that he's with you no matter what you're going through, because he promised to never leave us or forsake us. But sometimes we want to take ourselves off the potter's wheel and walk ahead, and not let the Lord have his way. But when we don't stay on that wheel, we're not allowing God to use us and show us those lessons that he has seen in us that we need to work on, those things in us that he has seen that we need to work on. So the lesson was really good. I was trying to keep up and take notes because I have a friend who's going through some things and I know that she could really benefit from it. So this is a great lesson. And I was, and I'm happy to share it with her. And good word, Elder Perkins.
Thank you. I will post the scripture citations, not the whole scripture, but for example, I'm getting ready whenever we start back to read Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And so I'll give citations for all the scriptures I've read tonight, put it on band if anybody wants to go back and refer to those. Thank you, okay. Sister Bradshaw. Anybody? Go ahead.
My husband and I are sharing the phone. He wants to say a few words.
Go ahead.
It ain't going to be much. But I wanted to say, Pastor Perkins, that you sure have the thought and the words tonight. Extremely encouraging. All those scriptures tie together. You've tied them together very well. It's encouraging, uplifting, because all of us are going through something, at different times. If it's good, if a person may not be going through, but and can encourage others, but usually we're going through and having to continue on to give God glory and endure. So do thank you for the word tonight. Excellent job. Do appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you, Elder. God bless you. We're praying for you. And we have confidence that you're going to be like, good as new. Or at least back to your baseline, praise God. Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies, comments about particular scriptures or points that have been made by me or others who have spoken on the call? All right, we'll get another opportunity. Romans 5. Verses 1 through 5. And I think I may have heard Elder Brasher talk about this scripture recently, at least verse 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, being declared not guilty by faith, we have peace with God. We've been reconciled with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus. He can't come any kind of way. Why would Jesus have died if it could come some other way? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And I may have written that down, so let me just, I can read my handwriting, but I'm going to make sure I didn't miss a word on that. Let's see, verse 3, okay, I did mess up. All right, here we go, verse 3 of Romans 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation produces patience. And patience, experience. Patience produces experience, and experience produces hope. Our track record with God concerning his faithfulness makes us have hope when it looks kind of bad, but when things start getting kind of skimpy. All right. And maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you got some pain, if you got some trouble, God has a purpose. All right. We got probably three more verses. I'll open it up for comments and questions, and then whenever we get through with that, we'll close out. This is a good one. This is one of the all-time favorites. You don't care what kind of church, Baptist, Methodist, Apostolic, you're going to hear this mentioned some part of the scripture. Psalm 35. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. The weeping may endure for the night, but there's going to be some joy produced when the morning light comes. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. We got to keep going as much as we can do. God knows what we can do. God knows I can't do what I did when I was 28 years old, right? God knows I can't drive all the way to Columbus and not stop like I could when I was 21 years old. I can't do that now. I got to have about 4 or 5 stops before I go on what is really about a 6-hour drive. So do what we can, but don't faint. Just because the outward man perishes, just because we're a little bit weaker, that doesn't mean we're fainting. That just means we got more wisdom and less physical strength. And we got some spiritual knowledge. And we can help people more with the spiritual knowledge and the experience than when we could, you know, leap tall buildings with a single bound as young men and women. So let's not get weary in well-doing. And what does that mean? Keep your eye on, cleave to that which is good. See the good in the things, right? And don't be worried about how people are acting, how people are reacting. If you know that what you're doing is a good thing, and if you know that your motive in doing is right, and you know that your heart is to glorify God and to bless people, and you're not worried about it getting any glory for yourself, don't worry about what nobody else says. Hallelujah. For in due season, we, and I love this word, shall reap. If we faint not, we got to keep going. Hallelujah. Yeah. Curtis Mayfield said, keep on pushing. You know, we got to keep on. And it might get down to a shuffle. You know what I mean? It might get down to a virtual crawl. But we ain't giving up. You know, that tortoise just kept on going. That rabbit was running circles around him. And then he tied himself out, and the tortoise won. We have to keep going by God's grace. Even, and you know, that's one of the beauties of being able to do remote classes, right? There are times when you could not have made it to Bread of Heaven Church on a Wednesday night because of circumstances. Maybe you didn't even have gas in your car. There were times when I struggled with that, and I just had to, you know, had to struggle with it. Might not have had gas in the car. Might have been taking care of children. Might not have had the strength to deal with traffic. Hallelujah. So God has allowed us There's some good things that came out of the pandemic, as long as we don't let it replace the in-person worship, that we can all participate remotely in when otherwise the frailties of our bodies and our situations would have made it very virtually impossible. So we're going to read. We're going to get the blessing. He's going to reward those that diligently seek him. But we can't quit. You know, quit's not an option. Backing up's not an option. Running away is not an option. Disappearing is not an option. All right. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to know the Lord's not going to leave you hanging? Now, people will leave you hanging from time to time. Even the person that loves you the most, maybe once, you know. If you got a wonderful spouse, that person might just once, over 40 years or 30 years or what, they might just once leave you hanging, right? But the Lord will never leave you hanging. He which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's really good news, because he's going to do it, right? You say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't think I can do it. Start talking like Moses, right? I can't talk, Lord. The Lord will perform it through you until the day of, if he began a good work in you, he's going to finish it. But you got to make yourself available, right? You can't run away. And even if you run away, he might hunt you down like he did Jonah. So you don't want to be in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights. I know you don't, saints. I know you don't. come out smelling like seaweed and fish. You know you don't want that. All right, I've been a little silly. Questions, comments, the floor is open. Brothers and sisters, you may interject or say your piece. Ask questions, comments. All right. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters. I probably had too much of a good time tonight. I guess I had more fun because I knew y'all couldn't see me. But I'm thankful for being with you. Certainly been the highlight of my day. So it's good to be with you. God bless you. I'm going to pray, and then we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come in your name. We come, Lord, hallelujah, confident in you. We stand on your word and your promises, Lord. We know that you, hallelujah, are not a man that you could lie, or the son of man. So we know, Lord, hallelujah, that your word is sure and we can stand on it. You won't leave us. You won't forsake us. Hallelujah, that we can do all things through you who strengthen us. Hallelujah, that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches. To glory, you are indeed a very present help in the time of trouble. Your name is a strong tower. We can run unto it and be safe. You are our friend in the midnight hour. You are the true vine. Hallelujah. All this other stuff is false. You the only true vine, Lord, and in your name, in that precious name of Jesus, hallelujah, we could connect to heaven, and we can connect to grace, and we can connect to promises. Hallelujah. And our hearts can be full to rejoicing and overflowing by virtue of our connection with you. In the midst of uncertain times and tears and heartache, Lord, hallelujah, we know that our trouble and our pain, hallelujah, has been allowed because you have a purpose. We come just as we are. Warts, imperfections, weaknesses, just as we are, Lord. We come open, not pretending, not trying to masquerade, not trying to put on camouflage. And Lord, here we are, Lord, in need of you. This is Russell Perkins. Hallelujah. Miss Willisboro. And these are the saints of the Most High, Lord. And we're all on the altar. Because without you, we can do nothing. Lord, bless Elder Brasher. Touch him in his body. Strengthen him. Heal him. Make him perfectly sound in his body. Bless Sister Samantha. Oh, she's definitely on this altar, Lord. And you sanctify what we put on the altar. Sanctify and bless and heal that child. In the name of Jesus. Bless Sister Nicole Armstrong, Lord. Bless her and touch her in her body. Bless Sister Tanya Cartwright. Lord, touch her in her body. Speed up and fast track the healing. Hallelujah. No setbacks, no problems, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Bless others who have elderly parents and loved ones, Lord. Bless my brother Robert, Lord. Hallelujah. He's not doing a whole lot of functioning, Lord. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, he's on that altar with everybody else. Bless him, touch him, strengthen him, Lord. Hallelujah. They say he's in the last stage of this Alzheimer's, Lord, but, you know, we just give him to you. We could not heal him when he was in the early stages. Hallelujah. Certainly only you can heal him while he's in this late stage. So we give him to you, Lord, and we ask that you bless him and that you heal him. And touch his body. Touch his mind. Touch his spirit. Bless him spiritually. Save his soul, Lord. Bless, Lord. Hallelujah. Our loved ones who don't really know you, Lord. Lord, make yourself known to use us as an instrument of grace, Lord. Use your people, Lord. This assembly of overcomers, Lord. People who believe your word when you say that we can overcome evil with good. Lord, use us, Lord, hallelujah, for your purpose. Use us, Lord, to bless somebody. Use us, Lord, to honor people. Use us, Lord, to tell your truth. Use us to testify your goodness. Use us, Lord, as instruments of healing and reconciliation. Bless us, Lord, as we go forth. And touch those, Lord, perhaps that I did not mention. Lord, bless First Lady, Sister Robin, Sister Renetta, Brother Elijah as they travel to Branson, Missouri, and back by your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. If you will allow, take care of them, Lord. And Lord, bless, Lord, anybody else among us or in our circle of grace, Lord, if they're traveling to get to their destinations and return safely. Bless Brother Heaven Church, Lord. Lord, do what you put in my heart. Hallelujah, so many years ago. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Amen.
Good night. Good night.
Love good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.